The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
She's got the news. She talks with newsmakers. She encourages us to laugh, and she cries with us. Speaking truth to power and questioning authority daily, it's the Nicole Sandler Show.
All right, welcome to a Thursday. We made it this far. I'll tell you something. For a short week, this week has gone on too long. And maybe it's just because I don't like what's happening. Oh my goodness, there's so much going on. I record the news every morning. So there's the What's News segment that runs throughout the day on the Progressive Voices Network. That's the 6-minute version. There's usually much more than 6 minutes worth of news when I get around to doing it in the morning. So there's also an extended version, which is what I podcast. So if you subscribe to this program, the Nicole Sandler Show podcast, you also get the What's News bonus file every morning. And, you know, anybody can subscribe. There's no charge. I'm not behind a paywall. The way I work this program, and many people have yelled at me for this, but I don't care. I sort of run off the public radio model. And that is, you know, I'm old school radio. So we're in my book, radio is free to listen to. Now, granted, the price you would pay to listen to what's now known as terrestrial radio, as long as it's a commercial station, are the commercials. I don't really run commercials. Not that I'm not allowed to, or that I wouldn't. I'm not a salesperson. If somebody that wanted to advertise on my show, we could talk, call me. We'll talk, you know, we'll cut a deal. But yeah, it's not my thing. And as far as donations to the program go, that's what pays the bills here. I am 100% listener supported. And but it's voluntary. If you appreciate the program and you have a few extra bucks, either one time or monthly to spare, I would be forever grateful. But I know too many people are still hurting, and I will not say no. If you don't pay, you can't listen. I just don't operate that way. So anyway, that's the philosophy behind the show, and it's certainly not ever going to make me rich. But it is what it is. So the last two Thursdays, Howie Klein has not been here. 2 weeks ago, I had to take the day off to help my daughter with something. I don't remember what it was, but I had to take the day off. And then last week, Howie had a hospital week. You know, some years back, first he had some rare form of cancer. I don't even know what type of cancer it was because it was rare. Maybe I'll ask him about it today. Thankfully, he got great care and is in remission or is cancer-free. I know, and then I got lung cancer. And with my situation, because they cut the cancer out of me, I asked the doctor, so now what am I? I'm not in remission. He said, no, you're cancer-free. And apparently with lung cancer, with this kind of thing, if you're cancer-free for 5 years, you're considered cured. Although I found out I still have to go in instead of probably, and right now I'm doing it every 6 months, it'll probably be an annual thing where I get scanned, but not the high radiation scan, the basic scan. So, but I don't know what it is with Howie, if he's considered in remission or cancer free, but regardless, he goes in, he has one day every so many months that he goes into the hospital, I'm guessing for tests. And last Thursday happened to be his hospital day. So that's why he wasn't here. So it's been a while since we've spoken. And it's funny, you know, the days that he comes on the show, he's here most every Thursday. I email him early in the morning and I say, is there anything in particular you want to hit on today? Because I always, you know, I throw a bunch of topics at him, but I want to make sure if there's a topic that he wants to address that I lead him there. And today, I figured we haven't spoken, you know, it's now 3 weeks, there's going to be a lot. And, I said, anything in particular you want to hit on today? And he said, no, not really. I can't think of anything. So it's one of those days. I've got plenty to talk to Howie Klein about. And if you have something that you want to ask Howie about, it's not great to call in when Howie's on because he's on the phone. When I have a guest on Zoom, that's another thing. You know, then it's easy to take phone calls, but it's difficult. But you can pop into one of our chat rooms. There's the chat room at NicoleSandler.com/listen-live. That is always on. And there's the YouTube chat room. Hi, YouTubers. Aw, thank you, R-Jizzle. YouTube has a feature called Super Chat where people can donate to the show right through the chat. And R-Jizzle, who I think is new here because I don't recognize you, are you new? And if so, thank you so much and welcome. So that chat room is open too, and you're welcome to, come in here and pass along a question for Howie. I try, I multitask sometimes to the detriment of the program because I don't just focus on one thing and I sometimes get distracted. You know, I'll look over at the chat and I'll lose my train of thought, but I do try to check in and see what's going on. And we not only have the YouTube chat and the NicoleSandler.com chat, we're also on Twitch. Nobody in the chat room at Twitch yet. And we're on Facebook and on Twitter, but Twitter doesn't have a chat, but it has Twitter. So we have all those different streams going, and I do try to check in with all of them while doing a radio show, which is not always the smartest. Hi, Zaz Cag in Twitch. See, somebody's in the Twitch chat room, so go on in and say hello. By the way, speaking of our chat rooms, we have a great community. No matter which page you're on, but especially the communities that have built up around the NicoleSandler.com page and the YouTube chat. And there's a smaller group on Facebook. But anyway, the camaraderie is lovely. For the most part, we have really wonderful people who like to hang out together. So anyway, Cynthia in the NicoleSandler.com chat room says, I am here listening if Howie has any info, on the California anti-solar bill, which I told him about because of you, Cynthia, back 3 weeks ago. So, yeah, I can ask him if he found out anything about it. I honestly don't know because we haven't spoken. So now I got to figure out what I want to tell you about in the time between now and when Howie comes on the show. And I had a bunch of little stories, I do the What's News report in the morning and then throughout the day, other news breaks. So I always open up a file. I call it the afternoon news dump because, that's what it is. And today's afternoon news dump, meaning stories that broke after I finished recording and uploading What's News. And today there's a few things like, the FBI is investigating Postmaster General Louis DeJoy in connection with campaign fundraising activity involving his former business. What he's accused of is giving employees raises or more money or bonuses when they donated to Republicans. Interesting, huh? Here, let me just read to you what this story says, because that's what I read earlier. FBI agents in recent weeks interviewed current and former employees of DeJoy and his business, asking questions about political contributions and company activities. Prosecutors also issued a subpoena to DeJoy himself for information. That person, like others, spoke on the condition of anonymity to describe an ongoing and politically sensitive investigation. However, DeJoy's spokesman, a man named Mark Carallo, confirmed the investigation in a statement, but insisted that DeJoy had not knowingly violated any laws. That's an interesting qualifier there, knowingly. Here's another quote from the same guy. Mr. DeJoy has learned that the Department of Justice is investigating campaign contributions made by employees who worked for him when he was in the private sector. He has always been scrupulous in his adherence to the campaign contribution laws and has never knowingly violated them. Knowingly. Yeah. You know what I say?
Bullshit.
Yeah. DeJoy, you need to go. He needs to be fired. More on that, hopefully, in coming days, because the calls for DeJoy to resign are getting louder. And I got to tell you, I've been painting these pet portraits, and I send them out, and I use the U.S. Postal Service because I believe in supporting the U.S. Postal Service because, well, before DeJoy, they were great. He is actively working to slow it down and raise rates. By the way, the price of a first-class stamp, he just raised. I think it was from, 52 or 53 cents up to 56. Just saying. He's raising the prices and slowing down the service. We got to do something about the post office. All right. So there's that. I'm sure in the coming days, there will be more to talk about. And hopefully this FBI investigation will turn up some dirt and we can get rid of them. Yeah, you're right, Cynthia, in the chat. DeJoy needs to be in jail for vandalizing the Postal Service. Couldn't agree more. Yes?
I believe it's 58.
58.
And 2 weeks ago, you were off for my birthday.
Okay, 2 weeks ago, I was off for David's birthday. That's why I took the day off. See, what would I do without him? He's constantly correcting me. In a good way, because I sometimes forget. It's the short-term memory problems. too much medical marijuana, I guess. But here's the thing that I want to tell you about. I'm always ragging on Florida, and for good reason. I've got two Florida stories, and neither one is good. Why is my video buffering? You guys on YouTube, you buffering too? Okay, now it's back. So I have two Florida stories. I guess I should play the unofficial Florida anthem. Everybody sing.
Boy, Florida, the deadbeat paradise.
Okay.
Only good for a quick visit or two.
People do come here to die.
Mangrove swamps. Yeah. Inhale all you want and pass out from just one whiff. Old and cranky Jews, angry Cubans welcome you with the shaking feet.
That's true. It is true.
So hot you stink and smell. I'm off to the great white north to laugh as I watch you die.
Oh, that's kind of dark.
To Canada, where
Canada.
The air is cool and the soda is dry.
Okay, there it is, the unofficial Florida state song, as written and performed by Broca Brittany Summers, everybody. Hey. And I play that for two reasons, these two stories I have here for you today. One is, and it's the front page of the Miami Herald today, DeSantis, or, death sentence, as I call him, DeSantis signs Florida's first $100 billion budget. But what's not in the headline is that he vetoed about $900,000 in funding for state programs geared toward serving the LGBTQ population, including, you'll love this one that provides mental health programs to survivors of the Pulse nightclub shooting from 2016. So he did that on the second day of Pride Month, on June 2nd. Now, I told you, on the first day of Pride Month, June 1st, DeSantis, that's when he signed this contentious law saying that transgender girls and women cannot participate in scholastic sports. Way to support the LGBT community. Yeah. It's just horrendous. And it goes on. I'm not going to do all this. Yeah. DeSantis cuts $2.7 million from budget for South Florida projects. So it goes on like that. And it's the typical, it's what you would expect. So there's all these LGBTQ program cuts. And it came on the fifth anniversary of the Pulse nightclub shooting. But spokespeople for DeSantis say he's an advocate for mental health. I just had to leave that sitting there for a second. The other story that I want to share with you goes a little deeper because there's nothing deep about moron death sentence. Do you remember, of course you do, back in November, the election, and this in South Florida, mostly Miami-Dade, the election went to Trump. Now, Miami-Dade County and Broward County, where I am, which is Fort Lauderdale, it's the county just north of Miami-Dade, are generally blue counties. You know, it's pretty Democratic here. Now, the rest of the state, not so much. There are pockets, you know, Orlando, Tampa, you know, are Democratic strongholds. But Northern Florida is the, you know, crazy country. That's Matt Gaetz country. That's nut job city. But down here, we're usually more sensible. But we have the Hispanic community. The Hispanic community, Latino, Hispanic, whatever you want to call that group. See, here in Florida, it's different than in Texas and Arizona and, you know, the Southwest, California, where there's a big Mexican population. Here, it's little Cuba. I mean, Miami is little Havana. It is Cuban territory. And there's a lot of Spanish language radio. And in fact, they are, you know what, I meant to pull up the ratings. Let me see if I can do this as I multitask. But generally speaking, the top rated, another Cox Media Group, which owns a bunch of radio stations, streams and email are down as reports of ransomware attacks surface. This is getting really outrageous. So anyway, that's an aside. I was going to pull up the ratings. Miami, the top rated stations are usually, at least most of them, Spanish language. And it happened in L.A. too, but here in Miami, I mean, even more so. So let me see. I'm going to log in here. I'm going to pull up those ratings. But there's a story. It was published last night by the Miami Herald. And I couldn't find it in the paper today. But I have the printout in front of me. And the headline reads, "Up is down and down is up." Sounds like they're describing opposite world, doesn't it? Report examines misinformation on Miami Spanish talk radio. So while people were trying to figure out what happened in South Florida, why did Miami go for the orange guy? This answers the questions, and it is astounding. It's astounding mostly because, you know what, they're talking about terrestrial radio, over-the-air radio, which is under the jurisdiction of the FCC, where they get to keep, they oversee, they regulate over-the-air radio. They don't regulate the internet. FCC has nothing to do with what I do, but yeah, they are supposed to keep tabs on what the over-the-air stations are doing. They are the ones who renew the licenses. And you used to have to jump through a lot of hoops in order to get a broadcast license. Because remember, these are allegedly the public airwaves. They are not owned by the companies who broadcast on those frequencies. They're frequencies on the dial, on the AM or the FM dial, licensed to a company, but never owned by them. Allegedly, the public owns them. All right, I'm looking. I guess I'm wrong. So the number one station in Miami, Fort Lauderdale, is Hot 105, Urban AC. That's like, Black urban music is the pseudonym, I guess, for black music. So Urban AC is like for older people. Then there's it followed by two, this is Florida, the land of the old people, followed by two adult contemporary stations, Easy 93 and Light 101.5. The next one, Spanish Contemporary. The next one, Spanish Contemporary. Then there's a Classic Hits, a Classic Rock, then Tropical. Spanish Talk is in here. So there's Spanish Contemporary. I'm going down the list. Spanish Contemporary, Spanish News. So all these Spanish stations are on the public airwaves. But apparently, nobody who's monitoring them speaks Spanish. So let me read to you some of this article from the Miami Herald. It begins, thousands of dead people and non-citizens voted in the 2020 presidential election. There were more votes cast than registered voters. Black Lives Matter and Antifa infiltrated the deadly storming of the U.S. Capitol. Those are just some of the conspiracy theories compiled in a new media monitoring report published yesterday, revealing the extent to which misinformation pervaded the airwaves of Miami Spanish language talk radio in the immediate lead up to and aftermath of the January 6th insurrection. Lovely. And just know, we can extend it further back and know that this shit was happening before the election, too. It didn't just happen after Trump, well, won in Miami, but lost the presidency. So it continues, scrutinizing a week's worth of early to mid-January pre-recorded programming, the report titled Disinformation in Miami After the Capitol Insurrection shows how a group of radio hosts across two popular local AM stations, Radio Mambi and Actualidad Radio, mischaracterized the events of January 6th and continued amplifying baseless claims of voter fraud, sometimes with the tacit endorsement of high-ranking guests, including U.S. Congresswoman Maria Elvira Salazar of Miami-Dade. Amazing. So the report, this investigation was done by a few organizations. It says including progressive-leaning advocacy groups Florida Rising and Miami Freedom Project, as well as communications firms Prospero Latino and Latino Comunica. They told the Herald that the aim of the media monitoring initiative is to better understand and expose how misinformation is disseminated on Spanish language radio, a key component of an influential misinformation ecosystem targeting Hispanics in South Florida. This is massive. I'm going to continue reading it because it's better that I read it to you than try to paraphrase. For us, it's not just monitoring for monitoring's sake. It's about capturing and documenting what's being said to sound the alarm, but also hold these outlets accountable. That's a quote from Andrea Mercado, co-executive director of Florida Rising, a nonprofit organization that works to create the voting and political power of minority groups in Florida. She said, it's really important to capture the kind of disinformation that's being spread across media outlets in South Florida. So the next section of the article is an emphasis on election irregularities. What? So this media monitoring study combed through Spanish language programming that aired between January 6th and January 13th. By that time, judges across the country had already unanimously rebuffed scores of claims of voter fraud from Trump and his allies for lack of evidence. In November, the top federal agencies in charge of election security had issued a joint statement describing that month's election as, quote, the most secure in American history. But the drumbeat of fraud allegations carried on in the radio programs analyzed by the study. Now, back to me again, because I always have to put in my two cents. We know this goes on. We know, look, today, what is it? It's it's June 3rd, 2021, and Donald Trump is still out there, you know, shaking his fist at windmills and saying, I won the election, and I'm going to be reinstated as president in August. You just wait and see. Really? So you want to tell me he doesn't drink? He's on something. Gotta be. Anyway, but when he says it in English, we all hear it. When he says it in Spanish, or his surrogates do, somehow that goes unreported. So back to the article. In the afternoon show he co-hosts on Actualidad Radio, Miami's most popular AM radio station, Augustin Acosta unspooled a number of false statements when he said that, quote, thousands of dead people voted, thousands of people in jail voted, thousands of people who were not U.S. citizens voted. I believe that in one of those states, Nevada or Arizona, 42,000 people voted more than one time. You know what that is, right?
Bullshit.
Yeah. Acosta also declared Joe Biden's mounting lead as mail-in ballots were gradually counted, quote, a suspicious case, and said that election observers were removed from counting rooms, a claim without any basis in fact. This media monitoring study, which contains links to the audio clips it makes reference to, chronicles how claims of voter fraud were also routinely entertained on this other station, Radio Mom B. Quote, how is it possible that in Pennsylvania there are 200,000 more votes on Election Day than there were voters in the electoral rolls? That's just not possible. You know who said that? Salazar, the congresswoman. It says, on occasion, the misinformation came from high-ranking officials. On January 11th, while appearing as a guest on Ninoska Perez's Daily Show, Salazar amplified a false claim about the integrity of the vote in one of the election's most closely contested states, Pennsylvania. That's when she made that quote. It is complete and utter
bullshit.
Yet she said it on the radio. And where are the consequences? The article continues. Salazar seemed to be citing a repeatedly debunked conspiracy theory based on incomplete data, which Trump himself also shared on Twitter. And it goes on. Earlier that morning, Representative Mario Diaz-Balart, oh, he's been in Congress for way too long from down here, also called into question the integrity of Pennsylvania's election in his own conversation with the same on-air host. On January 7th, he told her that changes made to that state's election policies were, quote, absolutely unconstitutional, a line of argument rejected by courts in the past and contested by constitutional law scholars. And that morning, Diaz-Balart joined 137 other House Republicans in voting to decertify Pennsylvania's Electoral College results. He said at the time, I've become convinced that the electors in some states were selected in an unconstitutional manner. That is
bullshit.
And Salazar's office did not respond to a Herald request for comment. It goes on like that. There's more of this. The next section of the article, and it's a lengthy article, and I will post it on the blog today at NicoleSandler.com/6-3-21. That's how I post each day's show and whatever write-up I, you know, write up to go along with it. So you can always get it. Any information, any articles I talk about when I remember, I post. And this I will today. But then it goes on and talks about how these stations said that, first of all, the hosts minimized the scenes unfolding in D.C., but then they went on and on saying that there's an evil attempt to try to link Trump to an insurrectionary movement so that they can, in the coming days, demand his arrest. And over the course of the next week, hosts across those stations raised the specter of Black Lives Matter and so-called Antifa involvement in the Capitol siege, despite the pro-Trump flags and QAnon symbols in the crowd. At times, specific conspiracy theories were brought up. Actualidad radio hosts Acosta and Karines Moncada and Radio Mambi's Lourdes DeKendall all discussed a debunked story from the Washington Times, which is a bullshit newspaper. It's the Moonies paper, which claimed that the facial recognition software had identified Black Lives Matter activists in the mob. DeKendall said, I don't even need a very serious investigation to know that there were people infiltrated, that there were people infiltrated in the riot. What? In what? First of all, that makes no sense. And second of all,
bullshit.
You know, and it goes on and on. Fellow Radio Mambi host Nelson Rubio also made misleading statements about the identity of the rioters. The point I'm getting, I could keep reading because this goes on for pages, page after page after page, and they make shit up. But it seems like nobody is what they're doing because they're speaking Spanish. And yet we can't get a fucking progressive talk radio station over the public airwaves. And they do this shit on the frequencies owned by the public. Again, the radio stations that operate on those frequencies are licensed to operate on those frequencies. They do not own those airwaves. Ostensibly, we do. And you know what I say to that?
Bullshit.
Yeah. So anyway, do come over and read that. I'm going to try to get in touch with the people who did this study, who did the research, and get them on the show. Because if you can't tell, I'm kind of pissed. In fact, I am livid that shit goes on. Where's the regulation? We're overly regulated. Now, when I was doing music radio and working on big goofy morning shows, the FCC instituted a new policy that if you were to let, God forbid, a bad word get through, and you can just, you know, use George Carlin's seven dirty words as a guide, that the not just the station would get fined, but the actual on-air host could be liable for a fine of up to, I think it was like $328,000 or something ridiculous like that. I promise you, radio hosts don't make that kind of money unless you're Rush Limbaugh or Howard Stern or Mark and Brian. But the producer didn't. Your general, regular, run-of-the-mill disc jockey doesn't. So there's a problem here. And if you wonder why Miami went so far right, that's why. They're using our so-called public airwaves as propaganda machines. It is stunning. I'm going to work on getting one of the people who worked on that report on the show. But I've been talking so long, I didn't even realize. And Univision, which owns one of those channels, was asked for a comment and they declined. They just didn't comment. Nor did Mario Diaz-Balart or any of the other Congress people who went on there and lied. Miami Herald called them for a comment and they had no comment. And I'd say I'm surprised, or I'd say, you know, it's unbelievable. But as I say all the time, I use that word unbelievable wrongly. It's totally believable. It's just shameful and truly fucked up and really wrong. But it is totally believable. All right. I see I've been talking so long that we're late in mixing up those dirty Debbies. Who's got them? Anyone? Anyone?
Are you a multinational corporation hungry for a treat? Well, come on down to Schmucky Chucky's, where you'll personally be seated by Chuck Schumer himself.
So many dishes, and they're all fresh.
You're going to love our Blue Dog special, the Dino Burger, because we say so.
A good hamburger and french fries.
And every burger comes with a side order of
grits. I love grits. I love anything with corn. It's corn.
All for only $50,000. Wash it all down with a Dirty Debbie.
9/10 water, 1/10 orange juice. After a week or two, you drink this, it's 200 calories and it's acetic.
And wipe your mouth with a tissue print of Glass-Steagall. For dessert, try our DNC tarts.
Little cookies, tell the quality of that.
Most restaurants give you a mint, but at Schmucky Chucky's, you get complimentary.
Sweet and low.
Who picks up the tab for all this? Find out now with Howie Klein of DownWithTyranny.com on the Nicole Sandler Show.
I always expect Boca to say, who picks up the tab for this? Why, Howie Klein of Down With Tyranny on the Nicole Sandler Show. But he doesn't, thankfully. Hi, Howie.
Hello, how are you?
I'm okay. How are you doing?
I'm good.
Good. I realize it's been a few weeks since we've spoken because I was out 3 weeks ago because it was David's birthday. You were out last week because you had a hospital day. And so we haven't spoken in a while. And, you know, I guess it's just more of the same is happening, but it seems like so much has happened since we last spoke.
Yeah. What has happened?
What has happened? More of the same. I don't have a list in front of me, but shit has happened. I couldn't tell you offhand what. It's not like in the days of Trump where it's like every day there were 20 things and I had to like pick and choose. But, you know, we're plugging away. We're moving along. Joe Biden disappointed me in a couple of ways. I'm sure you're not surprised to hear that. But for instance, he put out this ridiculous budget, but a few things of his campaign promises from the campaign have disappeared, like
and very important things as
well. Yes, I know.
I mean, they weren't enough to convince me to vote for him, but I think other people voted for him because of some of these promises that you never hear of anymore.
Yeah. Well, and some of us voted for him to vote against Donald Trump because as bad as Joe Biden can be, he still is light years better than Trump. If Trump had won re-election, I fear for where we'd be today. And, you know, things may not be great today, but they'd certainly be a lot worse if he were still in office. Just look what he's doing. So,
we agree with that.
Yes, we agree on that. So, before you came on, Howie, I just changed gears. I don't know if you heard about the story or not. Do you remember, though, that back in November, some of us were surprised at how Republican Florida went, especially Miami-Dade County, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
yes.
Big story in the Miami Herald today that a few groups, media watchdog groups, did an investigation into Spanish language radio in Miami. And go figure. They found, to give you the real Reader's Digest version, they lied about every goddamn thing. The first paragraph of the article says, thousands of dead people and non-citizens voted in the 2020 presidential election. There were more votes cast than registered voters. Black Lives Matter and Antifa infiltrated the deadly storming of the U.S. Capitol. And then it says, these are just some of the conspiracy theories compiled in a new media monitoring report published Wednesday, revealing the extent to which misinformation pervaded the airwaves of Miami's Spanish language talk radio.
But wait a minute. But these were it sounded like you were saying things that would have that reported on the election.
Right.
To say that they did they also influence the election?
Well, I'm sure they did. Well, this study only it followed the January 6th insurrection. So they took a week, like January 6th through the 13th, and studied, you know, and just analyzed that programming. But the lying and the misinformation didn't just start after the election. This was in full swing throughout the campaign. And my point is, it seems like there's nobody monitoring what's going on Spanish language radio in South Florida.
Well, that's weird because there are a lot of Spanish speaking Democrats in the Miami area. I mean,
you would think
younger Cubans,
yep,
for one thing,
but the
also
younger
Colombians,
the younger Cubans don't listen to AM talk radio. But apparently, they did enough gave out enough of this misinformation that I really think that that's what did it, because all the socialist talk, and we talked about this. God, how many times during the primary, you know, some people would raise the red flag and say, oh, well, if Bernie gets in, they're going to say he's a socialist. And I would say, if Joe Biden gets in, they'll call him a socialist. Joe Biden is as far from a socialist.
How many years do people have to hear this over and over and over again before they get it? Every Democrat, no matter how conservative, is a socialist. And the only difference is maybe they would call Bernie a communist.
Right.
I don't know.
But they'd call Joe Biden a communist. See, it's nothing they say is based in fact. But I really think that, you know, whoever should have been monitoring them wasn't. The stuff in this article.
In other words, their lies went unanswered? Is that the point?
I think so. Here's a concluding. Concluding the media monitoring report is a list of recommendations for outlets to follow to curb the spread of misinformation. It includes suggestions to diversify and explicitly cite sources on air. Yeah, like they'll do that. But according to the founder of one of these groups, basic fact-checking, he said, would single-handedly go a long way toward making the information disseminated on the radio more dependable. He said, we're talking about a completely different parallel universe where up is down and down is up. They listen to my show in the opposite world thing. If hosts were required to verify facts before saying something on the air, that would be a huge win. By who? That's the problem. Maybe the companies who own the stations who should be liable when their hosts lie on the radio. The radio, over-the-air radio, is still allegedly governed by the FCC, and you're not allowed to call something news and lie about it.
I see. Although, you know, when you say, when someone will say on right-wing radio that for example, if Biden gets in, we will have a socialist regime.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
We know that isn't true.
Right.
But that's debatable. I mean, it's not true, but they could say it.
Right,
how do you police that?
I don't know. Well, you hope that you have responsible owners who won't let those lies go over the air. But no, you don't. Because, well, in this case, one of the owners of one of these stations is Univision, which, I'm sorry, they've got a lot of television stations, too. I would think with their licenses at jeopardy that they couldn't get away with this shit, but nobody's holding them accountable for it.
And yeah, well, I mean, it goes back to, again, how do you, I mean, what is it that you're going to enforce? You know, I mean, where, you know, where does it start being a problem for freedom of speech?
Well, I do know.
You know, an outright lie is an outright lie.
Right, right.
But some of these things, you know, although we know they're not true, these conservatives believe this stuff.
Right. Yeah, they do.
Are they a lie, or are they just a difference of opinion?
Well, they're a lie.
With one side having insane opinions.
If you want to say that Black Lives Matter and, quote, Antifa, which doesn't even exist, were involved in the Capitol siege, that's a lie. You couldn't have somebody go on one of the network newscasts and say that on a newcast. Now, they'll say it on Fox
every day.
But Fox is a cable channel and is not regulated by the FCC. It's a private company, and they can say whatever they want. Oh, Univision's owned by NBC. Thank you, David. Univision's owned by NBC. So, but because Fox is on cable, they can say whatever they want. There's no regulation telling them that they can't. You can't put on propaganda and call it news on over-the-air broadcast, because they are the so-called public airwaves governed by the FCC, and there are regulations. You can't do it, but you can on cable, because there's no rules there.
Right. Well, I mean, if we're trying to fix the world, shouldn't we also fix that?
Yes. Yes, we should. The Fox should not be allowed to call itself news because they make shit up.
I would rather see Fox not be allowed to incite violence and lie on the air. I mean,
that's what I'm saying.
And I was growing up, it was not allowed.
That's right, because it was all over the air. And I mean, even commercials, you can't lie in a commercial over the air. But you can on Facebook, you can on cable, you can on YouTube. It's how the message is delivered. Over the air is the public airwaves, and there are very strict rules. Not that they enforce them all, but on cable, the internet, it's still the Wild West. There are no rules.
Okay, well, the internet is a different story.
Yeah,
but the cable, aren't they buying the rights to broadcast on cable also from the government?
No. No, I don't.
How does that work?
Whoever the cable company is. So, for say you have Comcast, they make their spectrum, although that's another cable company, available, and they will contract with broadcasters to carry their signals. But for instance, when you hear like somebody on CNN drop the F-bomb or say shit, there's no problem there because there's no rule against cursing on cable. There is on the public airwaves during hours when children might be in the audience. Now, there's the safe harbor, they call it. I think it's from like 11 p.m. to 5 a.m. or something, where you technically could, but nobody does. There's a whole different set of rules and regulations, and they simply have never existed for cable. You can say fuck on MSNBC without being fined or anything. Now, they may have a policy against it, but there's no law saying that you can't curse on a cable channel.
Right. Okay. Let's stick with the politics, though.
Okay.
Instead of the cursing part.
Okay.
So we're strictly going to be an argument about free speech.
Okay.
So, because it's very, very serious now. I think some people realize that the way these lies are told are now tearing the country apart in a very, very serious way.
That's right.
And causing violence, political violence,
is
relatively new to most of us. who have been, you know, who are alive now. But political violence is seems to be becoming part and parcel of the Republican Party.
Yes.
And it wouldn't be happening without all this lying. So, but how do you, who is going to say this is a lie? Now, okay, so, you know, if someone says black is white and white is black, that okay, so that isn't true.
Right.
Right? I mean,
right.
It can be proven
right.
that it isn't true.
Right.
Although I guess there could be a philosophical debate also.
Yeah, true.
But, you know, how do you, I mean, I don't know. I assume that's why they got away from trying to do it, because it's, you know, how do you say what's a lie and what's
well,
not a lie?
But some things are obvious, right?
All the time, Trump won. If you
right.
listen to Fox News,
Trump won.
You hear it all the time.
But
Trump
you notice that on the local Fox affiliate in Los Angeles, I think that is Channel 11 or something. I don't remember. But on the local station, their local news, they will not say Trump won. On Fox so-called news, on cable, they say it. But on the local over-the-air channel, they will not. You cannot lie about something. You can't make up a story and call it news on over-the-air broadcast media. It's mm-hmm. been many, many, many years since I took a broadcast law class. But I did. I majored in broadcasting in college. Cable wasn't even a thing then. I'm that old. As I was graduating college, you know, MTV just started. So it was brand new. So none of these topics weren't covered in my broadcast law class. However, you can't, what was covered was you can't call something a news program and make shit up. You just can't do that. The station could lose their license, and that's how it's enforced. And it's the FCC. Now, I'm sure funding has been cut, and the FCC can't possibly monitor everything. And actually, they don't. You know, the way the FCC, and mostly what they do is they fine, you know, radio hosts and disc jockeys for cursing. So I'm sorry, I got to go back to the cursing thing again, because that's a thing. Somebody has to file a complaint. Someone has to say, I listened to Howard Stern and he said fuck, or he, you know, did all this offensive stuff. You not only have to file the complaint, you have to have a tape and transcribe the tape and send it into the FCC. And then they will levy a fine. Or in some cases, take your license. But nothing like that exists for cable. They can do whatever they want. They can say whatever they want.
And can that be changed?
I would think. I would hope. But, you know, we're still living under the Telecommunications Act of 1996. That is the last overhaul of laws governing, you know, radio. And cable is talked about in there, but there's nothing dealing with this. It just, what that did, Bill Clinton, thank you very much, loosened the ownership laws. It used to be one company could own one AM, one FM, one TV station in a market and not own a newspaper. Now, one company, and the Supreme Court just unanimously ruled in this favor just a month ago. Now, basically, one company can own 2 television stations, 8 radio stations, oh, and the local newspaper, too. That's fine. We have no problem with that. The so-called liberals on the Supreme Court went along with that. That's a problem. Why? I have no idea. Because... Are they what?
They didn't say why?
I didn't read the decision. I just know it was a unanimous decision, and they said that there are no more, you know, they did away with the restrictions on local ownership rules. I'm offended by it, because if you have one voice controlling all of the media outlets, you're only hearing from that one voice. You're supposed to have a diversity of voices in a market, in a community. And this totally says, nah, even one company can own 2 local newspapers. And it's no wonder that everything is so one-sided. So we do need an overhaul. There have been people screaming, we need something to follow up the Telecommunications Act of 1996, which truly destroyed radio. That's what opened the door to all the consolidation. That's why after 96, remember KSCA, my station where I worked when we met, was sold in 97 because the consolidation onslaught began, and big companies started snatching up all the little mom and pop stations. In fact, that station.
I hated Bill Clinton, by the way.
Yeah, well, so did I for that very reason. It really destroyed the business. Anyway, I just thought it was interesting that this study came out actually yesterday, which shows that they've been outright lying on Spanish language radio in Miami. And I have no doubt that it had a major influence on the elections.
Yeah, well, you know, presumably the two Democrats who lost their seats, the two Democratic Congresswomen who lost their seats, they're going to see this as well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Interesting how they respond to it.
Yeah, really. I should try to get, what was her name? Debbie Mercosell Powell on the air, because she is. And the other one is Donna Shalala. They lost their seats. I think they both speak Spanish, actually. They, you know, I do wonder where they are. Frankly, Powell has been more.
You know, they have a vested interest in seeing this go right.
That's right.
Although. I'm wondering, are there people in Congress now who are talking about this at all? I don't mean
not that
study,
I know of. No,
I mean the
Telecommunications Act.
Awareness of the way news is broadcast.
Yeah, I don't know. I honestly do not know. But if you want to put me together with someone, I'd be happy to give them an earful.
I bet.
Yeah, because this needs to be done. It is totally. Totally broken. I mean, and then the Supreme Court ruling upholding these horrible ownership rules just put it over the top. So anyway, so Howie Klein, I hijacked most of our segment for that. I was reading today downwithtyranny.com, and I came across, I mean, you have a bunch of interesting stuff here. You have an article that I do not want to get into now, but I think people should read. U.S. support for Israel has no strings. That makes the situation in the Middle East worse. Read that. But the one that really caught my attention, because I never knew this.
I'm afraid of what you're going to say now.
Do you know which one I'm going to talk about?
Hope not. And I'm not going to bring it up because in case it's not the one you want to talk about.
I bet it is. Do you not want me to go there?
No, I don't know where you're going. Anything I publish on Down With Tyranny is fair game.
Okay. The headline reads, it was published 17 hours ago. The headline reads, today is International Sex Workers Day. Marco Rubio, Dee Dee Ramone, and me. What?
Right.
Okay.
So, the article started out in a different, to go in a completely different direction.
Yeah.
It was really meant to be an article about a woman who is running for Congress from Philadelphia.
Okay.
and she wrote a really powerful piece, which eventually is going to come out. But she decided to wait. And not put it out yesterday. It was supposed to come out yesterday. I had written just a little paragraph introducing it, where I mentioned that many, many, many years ago, I had come back to the United States from Europe. I had no money. I was like sleeping on a friend's couch, and then there was this Ramones song that I happened to hear that Dee Dee wrote, and right. I knew Dee Dee. I knew the Ramones,
and
he wrote this song called 53rd and 3rd. Mm-hmm. And 53rd and 3rd was part of a loop of where younger guys would go and meet older guys for pay, and which Dee Dee had done at one time in his life, and which I then thought, oh, this seems to be an easy way to make some money.
Ouch.
So for some short time, I didn't like it at all, and for some short time, that's how I made my money.
Wow.
And it made me understand, which I intuitively understood anyway, the plight that sex workers have.
Yeah, well, what a life.
So that post.
But what's interesting is you have a clip in here, and you link to, you say, it's the same thing that Marco Rubio did when he was also desperate for money. And you
did we never talk about that?
Why not?
Did you and I never talk about that?
No, we never talked about that. And it links to a February 2016 article on the old Down with Tyranny website. The cop who arrested Rubio as a gay prostitute in 1990 says he had very white teeth.
Oh, yes. Right. So there's a park. I don't know that it still even exists. I'm sure it does. But I don't know if it's still the thing. Uh-huh. Now, male and female sex workers do it mostly, not exclusively, but they do it mostly online. But back in those days, they were it was happening in known places, and the Alice, I think it's Alice C. Wainwright Park, that in Miami in Coconut Grove, that was a park that was well known, where older men could go and meet younger guys and for, you know, for pay.
Yeah.
And Rubio, at the time, was a young, very young guy. He had worked as a runner for his brother-in-law's Coke business.
Okay.
So it was a very big Coke business. And Rubio just, you know, he just delivered Coke to people and got paid. Well, then he went to college. He went to some, you know, fake Bible college or something in Arkansas, and he flunked out.
Uh-huh.
And back to Miami, his brother-in-law had been arrested and was in jail. So there was no going back to that. He was extremely depressed, didn't know what to do with himself. And I don't know how many times this happened. I know he was arrested one time, and maybe he was doing it every night, or maybe that was the only time he was doing it.
Wow.
But illegal to go into that park at night. It was closed. And the reason it was illegal was because of the male prostitution that was going on there. Now, when they got arrested, Rubio and his best friend, the best friend later becoming one of the biggest male prostitution pimps in Miami. That was his best friend and roommate.
Wow.
They got arrested. They said they were just there to drink a beer. And that was a joke. I mean, it was like, you know, everyone knew what was going on in that park.
Right.
So Rubio refuses to respond. It's been written up in several Miami newspapers over the years. When I started writing about it, Rubio reacted immediately by what is that called when you can't see someone's stuff, not muting me, but
blocking
me. Thank you. Yes, you blocked me on social media.
Oh my god. All right. Lovely. Yeah, well,
the thing is that Rubio, you know, like I said, I used to do it. I'm not saying there was something wrong with Rubio doing it. The thing is that Rubio is very homophobic.
Right. He's a hypocrite.
His whole career has voted against the LGBT community. So that's where the problem comes in. Here he is, you know, doing whatever he's doing. I don't know what he was specifically doing. But, you know, whatever it was, he was getting money from older gay men to do something. And, okay, fine, that's not a problem. But yet, you know, when it comes to, you know, having equality for the LGBT community, he's against it.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You know, he's always been horrible. You know, he was the Speaker of the Florida House before he went to the U.S. Senate. And he was just reprehensible, cocky. Maybe that's the wrong word to use in this context, but just a smug, arrogant prick. And I guess not much has changed.
That's exactly right. And you know, so that's why, you know, if anyone wants to investigate it, if they just follow the links in the post that I wrote last night, it goes to another post that I wrote.
Okay.
And in there, there are some links to newspapers and magazines in Florida that covered it. There used to be some videos available of some of this stuff, not of him being arrested, but there were videos that are no longer available.
Wow.
That were worth looking at, and interviews with the policemen who arrested him. So, I mean, you know, I mean, the guy was arrested in a, well, whatever.
Yeah,
I mean,
but there are stories, so that's the point. How, you know, I think our media, our journalists, I'm not a journalist, are lazy because this stuff should have come out. But not that it matters. Look, Donald Trump bragged about grabbing women.
It's been ignored.
Yeah. Donald Trump brags about grabbing women by the pussy and still gets elected president. So go figure. I don't understand any of it. Anyway, Howie Klein, we've come to the end of the hour. This went really fast. And we'll talk again next week.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. And bye. And by the way, I was wrong before. Univision David got something wrong. He said Univision is owned by NBC. That's wrong. Telemundo, I believe, is owned by NBC. Univision is owned by somebody else. You know, we get things wrong, we try to correct them. Anyway, tomorrow is Friday. Tomorrow, Don McGahn testifies, the former White House counsel. That should be interesting. So far, no guest. We may keep it that way. All right. Thanks for listening, everyone. See you tomorrow. But first, I will leave you with the news. Here's today's What's News. I'll see you tomorrow, everyone. Bye.
I read the news today. Oh, boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
The New York Times is reporting that the Justice Department, under Donald Trump, secretly seized phone records of reporters working for The Washington Post, CNN, and The New York Times. A Justice Department spokesman under Biden told reporters that members of the news media have now been notified in every instance of leak investigations from the 2019-2020 period in which their records were sought. New York Times executive editor Dean Baquet released a statement saying, "We expect the Department of Justice to explain why this action was taken and what steps are being taken to make certain it does not happen again in the future." Now, I try not to spend too much time on the former guy, but there's reason now not to ignore him. That's because chatter online among Trump and QAnon followers on platforms like Telegram is creating concern on Capitol Hill about the possibility of further violence. The reporting on this new round of outrage began on Tuesday with Maggie Haberman at the New York Times. Then it was followed by other outlets confirming the reports that say large groups of conspiracy theorists are, again, entertaining false beliefs that Trump will somehow be reinstated as president in August. Huh? Rhetoric from the Trump camp has reinforced those beliefs. In fact, over the weekend, Michael Flynn, Trump's first national security advisor, actually endorsed the idea of a Myanmar-style military coup in the United States. One D.C. Metropolitan Police officer who was attacked during the January 6th insurrection said comments like Flynn's could lead directly to more violence. Trump still does have a huge following, but signs are pointing to a possible decline in his pull and influence. It was less than a month ago that Trump launched a new website, basically a blog, though his team had billed it as the launch of a major new social platform. Well, that website is now gone permanently. One of Trump's advisors told the Washington Post that the former guy was upset that people were mocking his blog instead of using it. And yeah, very few actually visited. Oh, well. So, thankfully, we voted Donald Trump out of office, and now it appears that his BFF, Bibi, is out too. Yeah, Benjamin Netanyahu has been Israel's prime minister for 12 consecutive years, 15 years total, and in that time, he's unfortunately become a major figure in American politics, and yes, was a close ally of Trump's. Bibi is also currently on trial for fraud, bribery, and breach of trust while in office. Nice. Two politicians, Yair Lapid and Naftali Bennett, built a coalition of 8 very different parties, all working together. Though they agree on very little, they are joined in the goal of ousting Netanyahu from office. So for the first time, the coalition that was formed that will replace him includes a party that represents Palestinian citizens of Israel. According to the deal, hardliner Naftali Bennett will serve as prime minister for 2 years and then turn the office over to center-left leader Yair Lapid, who basically negotiated the deal. The deal still has to be accepted by the Israeli parliament, who's expected to do so, but that won't happen for about another week, giving Netanyahu time to try to derail the deal, which he's trying to do. Ugh. Which is apparently what he's trying to do. Fingers crossed. So many of us in America think this is great news. We don't know what this new government will be, but at least it won't be Netanyahu. But check this out. As soon as the coalition announced it was approaching agreement, Republican senators Lindsey Graham of South Carolina, Ted Cruz of Texas, and Bill Hagerty of Tennessee flew to Israel to offer support to Netanyahu and to call President Biden weak. Wow. Cruz released a video that he claimed was of a home destroyed by a Hamas rocket that killed, quote, an elderly woman's caretaker. Now, just remember who we're talking about here. Ted Cruz, who left Texas to go vacation in Cancun in the midst of a deadly freak freeze in Texas while most of the state lost power as well. So it seems kind of likely that his concern for the 12 Israelis killed was more about politics than doing the right thing. Come on, it's Ted Cruz. The Tulsa City Council on Wednesday unanimously passed a resolution acknowledging and apologizing for the 1921 Tulsa race massacre, where as many as 300 black residents were killed by a white mob who attacked the affluent neighborhood known as Black Wall Street. The resolution didn't include reparations, though it did acknowledge the 1921 Tulsa Race Riot Commission report of 2001, which called for them. Hey, at least we're acknowledging it happened. It's a step in the right direction. Now on to the fight against COVID. President Biden announcing Wednesday that his administration was stepping up its COVID-19 vaccination outreach effort to counter failing inoculation numbers. It's all in a push to reach his goal of having 70% of eligible Americans either fully or partially vaccinated by July 4th. Biden called June a national month of action. He said some pharmacies would stay open all night on Friday so more people could get shots. Child care centers are waiving fees to make it easier for parents to get vaccinated. The administration has also enlisted barbershops and haircutting salons in black communities to hold vaccine clinics. These locations are important community centers that were key to organizing during the civil rights movement. And Anheuser-Busch, yeah, the beer company, has announced it will buy a beer for the first 200,000 applicants over the age of 21 if the United States meets Joe Biden's 4th of July goal. As for help delivered to Americans through the pandemic, a new Census Bureau analysis suggests that the policy of trying to help people in crisis has been a success. And it's the poorest households and those with children who benefited the most, both financially and in terms of reduced anxiety and depression. And it's tangible. Food insufficiency fell by more than 40%. Financial instability fell by 45%. And adverse mental health symptoms reportedly fell by 20%. The study suggests that the speed, breadth, and flexibility of the program, especially the use of cash transfers, was key to easing material hardship. Of course, opponents of the program argue that the hardship would have improved anyway since tax credits arrived in April. Ugh, please. And finally, a big round of applause for Paxton Smith. She's a Texas high school senior, valedictorian, delivering her speech at her graduation ceremony, who decided to throw out the school-approved script and deliver her own takedown of the new abortion ban just signed into law by the Texas governor.
I have dreams and hopes and ambitions. Every girl graduating today does. And we have spent our entire lives working towards our future. And without our input and without our consent, our control over that future has been stripped away from us. I am terrified that if my contraceptives fail, I am terrified that if I am raped, then my hopes and aspirations and dreams and efforts for my future will no longer matter. I hope that you can feel how gut-wrenching that is. I hope you can feel how dehumanizing it is to have the autonomy over your own body taken away from you.
Paxton Smith. I think we all need to remember her name. We're going to be hearing from her again. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.